Today I have a special episode for you all, and the reason for that is I have a guest on the show. Now this guest reached out to me on YouTube, and I think you're going to resonate with his story. A lot of people will ask to be on the show, but I often will decline, and the reason for that is I want to make sure that all of you that tune in every single week are getting maximum value. You're going, all right, yep, 5, 10, or 15 minutes on this topic, I'm thinking differently about an early retirement, specifically with Roth conversions, or investing a certain way, or making sure that I'm doing all the right things on how I pull income, and how to prepare for retirement. So today you're going to hear a story from this individual. I don't want to give it away too early, but what he alludes to is the fact that your health is just so important, and he's amassed a good amount of wealth at a fairly young age, and he talks about how he did it and what he wishes he would do differently because now he does have this good amount of wealth, and now he wants to make sure that can create the life he's always dreamed of. So you're going to hear that from him. If you want to listen to this video, if you want to listen to this episode, you can see the video on YouTube. So right now, if you're just listening on the podcast app, Apple or Spotify or Google, that's perfectly fine, but you can actually see us if that's of interest, see our radio faces, just kidding, maybe just my radio face and Alex's face. You will see that on the episode on YouTube, so you'll see that in the description. You can click right there. But other than that, I think you're really going to enjoy it. I want to keep creating content that I think really resonates with you. So I'm always trying to come up with new ideas, and I'm going to keep doing my episodes. So my solo episodes are still going to come out, which is why I'm not replacing my traditional Monday episode with this. You will still get that on Monday. You're going to get a really fun episode, but I can tell you right now, I wanted you to get this before the weekend. I know some of you are not going to be able to listen to it, of course, this Friday, but I wanted to publish it now so that you can think a little bit differently this weekend about your retirement, more so about what can you do to start preparing for this next stage of life, which, like I say, financial independence, retire early. I like to reframe it: financial independence, recreational employment. So I'm going to stop talking so you guys can listen to Alex. Let's hop into the show. Alex, if you don't mind introducing yourself with just how old are you and where are you coming from today?
Yeah. Hi. So, my name's Alex, and I'm 41 years old. And I'm a software engineer currently. I started actively working towards my financial independence plan starting in about 2017. It's been going along pretty well since then.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Alex, we're going to get into it. I'm going to do a few rapid fire questions if that's okay, but I'm going to preface it with, when people talk about the FIRE movement, a lot of people are like, all right, what's that stand for? And traditionally it stands for financial independence, retire early. And if you guys have heard the podcast, I have a different definition: financial independence, recreational employment. Most people don't want to do nothing. They want to do something. They just want it to be fulfilling. So we're going to talk about this today, but Alex, real quick, what are your total liquid assets today? So not your net worth, but just investments today.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the vicinity of $970,000 or so. Between investments and cash.
So you've saved well, you've invested well. And when you first started saving and investing, was it, hey, a neighbor told me about it? Was it parents? Was it I did research? How did you start that journey?
It's kind of interesting. So I started my financial independence journey after I kind of suffered a pretty significant back injury. I had a pinched nerve was causing some significant sciatica pain, kind of going down my right leg. And, it got to the point where I couldn't even really like sit down. And I ended up, going to physical therapy and having to basically take time off of work. And I realized, I was like, I've been in a career where I'm sitting, ever since as long as I can remember. And how much longer am I going to be able to do this, was the question, and then it happened again about a year later. And I was like, this is serious. This is a reoccurring problem. I've been trying to, to resolve it, with exercise and, diet and things like that, but how much longer of a career do I have left?
Right.
And as I was laying there, trying to recover, I kind of stumbled into another podcast called the Money Guy Show.
Well aware.
About them and the Choose FI podcast, and then that kind of brought me into the greater world of maybe if I work toward this aggressively, if I get to the point where I no longer can work, you know, then hopefully me and my family will be okay. You know, and I think about those, like this injury. I've had it happen a couple more times since then. It's been about four times since 2017 or so. You know, I think about the root causes of that. And I think a lot about how in my 20s in particular, and even my early 30s, I worked a lot, you know, and by a lot, I mean, you know, I was almost sleeping at work. You know, I was, you know, 70, 80 hours a week working at, you know, jobs that weren't necessarily compensating me, appropriately for that level of work, but I was hooked on it. You know, sometimes software engineers, you know, like I know it's a pretty common thing, but you get hooked on solving problems, and you know, you feel this sense of autonomy, and it's kind of addicting, you know, and that that addiction can really catch up with you if you let yourself, like, you know, fall into it. And that's, I feel, a lot of what happened to me. You know, this reoccurring back injury, you know, was the result of not taking care of myself for decades, kind of prioritizing work over my health. I also got about 12 years ago or so, I was diagnosed with diabetes and type 2 diabetes. And that was, you know, purely the result of poor health habits I had developed over a lifetime of, you know, like, all right, well, it's 2 a.m. and I'm still working. I'm gonna, you know, down a couple energy drinks and, you know, drink some soda to keep myself going. Yeah. You know, when I was at my worst health, right, when that happened, I weighed 313 pounds. Wow. And it was, you know, right now I'm at about 210. I'm actually controlling the diabetes mostly through diet and exercise. Amazing. But I had to kind of reject that life that I had been living in my 20s. I had to realize, you know, like this addiction to work was killing myself, literally. Yeah. You know, that's kind of what ended up driving me here, you know. I don't know whether early retirement is necessarily in my future. I mean, it might end up being forced on me if I can't get this.
Well, Alex, let's talk about this. I don't take lightly what you just shared. To me, mm-hmm. one, thank you for sharing that, because all of those that are listening to this are going, wow. I can tell you right now, if you're interested in early retirement, I say this on the show, I'm not in love with that. I'm in love with the concept of you being able to do more of what you want to do. And if financially you can be in a position to do so, wonderful. Even if it means you keep working. But what you just said there, Alex, is the key is, hey, you just kept working because it's, oh my gosh, it's ingrained in me, that level of autonomy. A lot of people listening right now are in their 50s. They're a few years out from retirement. They're early 60s. We have others in their 30s. And what you just shared is, I just cannot tell you how real it is, because I have an ebook. And in the ebook, I force people to answer a question, to download it. I say, what are you most excited to never have to deal with ever again? And people say, answering emails on the weekends. People say working till 2 a.m. People say all these things that you just said. So it's one thing to hear it from me. It's another thing to hear it from you, where it's very real. So safe to say, correct me if I'm wrong here, Alex, you're going, all right, the wake-up call was my health was being deteriorated. I wanted to focus on the financial side to understand, when am I in a position to take care of my family if, God forbid, anything doesn't allow me to keep working? Is that right?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I think, you know, being able to work on my terms as well is, you know, is a great, you know, at first when I first started this journey, I was running from something. I was running away from this inevitable, like what felt like an inevitable, like forced end of my career, essentially. And as time went by, I realized, you know, like, well, I could actually run towards things too. You know, once I achieved a certain level of kind of, I wouldn't call myself financially independent right now, but I feel like I'm coming onto the cusp. And, you know, I realized, you know, well, I can take risks in my career that I didn't feel like I could before. And I can enforce my personal boundaries between work and life in a way that I was not doing intentionally before. And, you know, someday, if I achieve a strong enough level of financial independence, I could, you know, take a very long sabbatical or even go into early retirement and focus on my health even further and focus on my family. These are all great things to run towards. It's morphed over time, but that's.
What you're alluding to, Alex, is harder than continuing to work. And people are like, Ari, wait, what did you just say? You heard that right. It is actually harder to think about, oh my gosh, what amount do I need to save and invest so I can be in a position to do what I want to do? It's easier to just keep working because you already know it. It's already a little comfortable, even if your health is being negatively impacted. So what you're actually doing is noble, and other people sometimes just need to hear it. Wow. Yeah. I need to think about this, or I'm not taking care of the health to the degree that I feel I should. And I feel that today. I love what I get to do, but some days meetings get back to back. And then all of a sudden you're like, I didn't go work out and I didn't take a lunch break. And now more than ever, because we're working from home, a lot of us, it's like works with us forever. It just never leaves you. So Alex, what I think you brought up there was really wise. I'm going to ask you a few quick fire questions. Then I want to get into a few other things that you noted over email, which I just think are too important not to bring up. What is your income today?
Yeah. So today I'm making about $170,000 a year. And my wife makes about 60.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you feel you're like, hey, I really feel fairly compensated for the work I do? Is it, I don't totally know. Thoughts?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I would say that I do. I do feel well compensated. You know, in theory, there are software companies out there where you could make a lot more money. Sometimes sure. I've heard at the cost of your work-life balance, but it's not a trade-off I'd be willing to make. I feel like, my actual living expenses end up being about $60,000 a year. So I've got plenty of buffer room to, you know, to continue to save and invest aggressively.
You do. How much are you saving today to 401ks versus a brokerage account, Roth IRAs?
Yeah. Well, so what I do right now is I'm both my wife and I max out our 401ks. Basically everything else I get that isn't, used for living expenses or, you know, essentially, I guess I would say that everything that's not for living expenses, we throw into our, taxable brokerage. There was a time where I was doing the backdoor Roth, conversion. It's a complicated story, but I ended up feeling like maybe that's something I ought not to do. It's kind of complicated, but I ended up deciding kind of for personal ethical reasons, I decided to stop doing it. Not that I would ever blame anyone else for doing it, but it's
absolutely. Yeah, no, actually, I started to interrupt there, Alex. I hear that often, and people sometimes will go, Ari, backdoor Roth. There's something about hearing the words backdoor going, hey, this is a sneaky tax technique. I want to do this. A lot of people don't do this. I want to be part of the people that do this. That's kind of the allure to it, but sometimes it actually makes most sense to not do it. It's like, hey, what if I do want to retire early? I don't want to have to worry until this age to worry about things. And it's just simpler. Also, it's, you don't have to worry about, hey, do I have another IRA? What does that mean from an aggregation rule? There's lots of nuance to it, but what you just said is actually fairly common. But I now want to talk about, which is a little different. This might surprise you, but I often ask people, how much are you spending on you? And I'm not talking about the mortgage. I'm not talking about, you know, gas or groceries. I'm saying, how much do you spend on fun Alex things? And if you don't know, that's okay. But that's question one. I'm going to give you part two to the question so you can think about both. The part two to the question is there anything today that you feel you're not doing for financial reasons that you say, Ari, if I did have more, I would absolutely, you know, go to this gym instead, or I would, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I guess. So I feel like we put aside, so it varies, the actual amount varies pretty widely per month, but sure. I kind of try to shoot for a target goal of about, $300 or so a month for dining out and having a, kind of fun nights out as a family. And then discretionary spending, usually about $500 a month. But it definitely ebbs and flows. And it's been particularly interesting seeing it during the pandemic, because there's been some months where it's like, well, you know, we literally can't do anything, especially because we also had a our kid during the pandemic. So those things combined too, you know, we were completely shut in for those couple of years. So that was like a really low point in time in terms of discretionary spending. But things have mostly gotten back to normal now, and maybe even a little bit over, you know, because we're doing more things with the kid, taking her out to museums and things
if
like
you're,
that.
Alex, I'm gonna interrupt real quick. If your salary doubled tomorrow, would you go, Ari, right now we're spending $800 a month, call it 500 for stuff that's fun, 300 dining out. Are you like, I would do twice the amount like that? I would like to do much more. Or is it, no, we're kind of doing what we want to do?
Yeah, I would say we're pretty much doing what we want to do. I could see it going up if we were to, like, I think when our daughter's a little older and we're able to, like, kind of travel a little more easily, sure, with her, I could see a world where we start setting aside more money for travel. Cause I have missed that. But with the realities of our kind of 2.5-year-old kid right now, it's a tougher situation. So I picture that maybe being something we do, maybe when she's like 4 or 5, you know, hopefully in a better position to start really getting out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. What cars do you drive today?
Oh, so I drive a 2006 Scion XA. Okay. Yeah, it's got about 140,000 miles on it. I've owned it since 2006. When I first bought it, it was the worst financial decision I ever made because I bought the car new and shortly after realized maybe I shouldn't have done that. But I've held on to it ever since then. And, you know, it's funny, I can't even really imagine driving another car at this point because it's such a comfortable little car. Like it rides high, yeah, but it's also, like, you know, it's nice and compact. You can see out all the windows. Like whenever I get like a rental car or, you know, like the cars in the shop and they give me a loaner, like all the newer cars that I've driven, they feel like these, you know, these kind of like you're driving in a tank in comparison. Yeah. Just because I've been driving this little car for so long, but I'm like, I can't picture driving like an SUV or anything, right, like that. Like I'm in this car till the wheels fall off, I guess.
Totally. I'm the same as you. I have a Mazda, and you couldn't do anything to get me out of the Mazda. And then I'll get a rental car, and it's a larger car. I'm like, why am I driving a Hummer? But of course it's not a Hummer. You're like, why is this a tank? I want to talk now, Alex, if that's okay. You sent me an email, and I'm going to read a little bit of what you said because it's just too wise to not share. And then I want your input on it. So Alex had sent me a note. And by the way, those that are tuning in, this is the first time I'm speaking with Alex. So the idea here is I want you to hear from people who are going through it right now. They're trying to save, they're invest, and they want to make sure they have a healthy work-life balance because it's really easy to just save, and not take time to do more fun things. So if there's anything you're hearing from this, Alex, it's I want you to go spend a little bit more on you. Not because you're going, Ari, you know, if you feel you can do everything you want to do, then great. And right now, hey, we've got a little girl, we're not traveling. Maybe though, you can set aside funds now so that when you do travel, it's guilt-free and you're kind of putting that off. So I invite you really to, because I'm telling you right now, I speak with people who are retired. They're in their late 60s, people retire in their early 50s. And all of them say, Ari, I'm in a good spot now. I wish I had traveled more. I wish I had done this while I had my energy and my health, because it's not fun to talk about. Nobody knows when we're going to have a back issue. I'm a soccer player that I can guarantee I'm going to need hip surgery with the amount that I play. And so none of us know. So just want to allude to that. But let's talk now a little bit. This is what you had sent me, Alex. You had said the following, and I appreciate once again you sharing this. You said, Ari, I worked in a lot of closets and secondhand smoke-filled rooms. I spent many years without health insurance, barely scraped by working at startups that I'd given my heart to, but were never got a chance of working out in retrospect, which of course none of us could know. I only stabilized from a financial standpoint once I ended up scoring a job out in Seattle at a larger company. And a lot of people, by the way, I'm a pause, there's more to it, but Alex, a lot of people are like, Ari, I want to go work for this startup. It's exciting. It's new. There's also a lot of value in working with a larger company where you do have benefits and you know that income is stable. And you had said here, the journey was interesting, full of crazy stories that you don't hear about when you talk to, say, an engineer who worked at, you know, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google their whole career. And you could talk about the lessons, which I want to hear. But you said, Ari, the early part of my career, one, it caused the end of my first marriage. It caused health problems that persist to this day and also set my career progression back. And I would love the opportunity to warn and educate other people about some of these negative effects that can sneak up on you if you're chasing the high of work without paying attention to the other aspects of your life. So that to me is a very powerful statement. Alex, of course, if there's a story that comes to mind, I want you to share it now. But if there's anything else that you're going, Ari, I really would love people to know this about my financial situation and what I wish I did differently and how I'm thinking about health specifically in relation to my money.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is, like, you know, I remember vividly in my 20s, you know, being at this small startup, and I was living it. I bought the Kool-Aid. I felt like this was going to be a wild success. And I basically lived there. I worked, you know, just a stupid amount of time at that job. And yeah, it's, you know, you don't realize how harmful that is until it's too late. You know, like the harm that it does is harm that it's doing while you're still feeling good. You're getting this high from, you know, from working late and solving these problems and, you know, making a bunch of cool features or, you know, troubleshooting things. And you're like, you know, you're getting this high. It's an adrenaline rush. But you don't realize, like, you know, the damage it's doing, you find out years later, you know, or you find out when you look back, you're like, what did I really do with my 20s? You know, like, where, you know, like all, you know, when all your memories are sitting at a desk, you know, you know, it's something I wouldn't want anyone, who's earlier in their career to have to endure. You know, it's a you know, you may do something like that and it may work out or it may not. It's kind of a gamble, you know, either way when it comes to a startup. But even if it does pay off, you know, what have you lost? You've lost time. You know, if you got in as deep as I got in, you lose relationships, you know, it's a and those are things that you can't get back. You can always, you know, like I did, you could always start the financial journey later in life and catch up. And it doesn't take, you know, like you don't have to be in I guess if you could consider like the tiers of software engineering jobs, you don't have to be in that like A tier, you know, making $400,000 a year at Amazon kind of tier to catch up with your financial goals. But you, no matter what you do, you're never going to get that time back. And it doesn't feel real when you're in your 20s. When you're in your 20s, that time feels cheap. But then when you're looking back on it, it's actually very expensive.
Yeah. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Alex, not enough people will really sit down, in my opinion, to do the hard work, which is, am I truly putting myself in the best position? So Alex from 10 years from now goes, yeah, I'm really happy. And regrets aren't a terrible thing, but it becomes a terrible thing when you ignore it and go, you know what? I know there's going to be ramifications, but I just don't want to think about it right now because it's easier. And then you're like, oh my gosh, my weight, my health, my relationships, and prioritizing is not difficult. It's not as if the people listening right now are going, Ari, I love my work more than my family. But it's almost as if the implementation of their life, if someone were to look at them from outer space, it looks like that. Because they're like, I see you're always working. You're not actually with your family, even though you say that's most important, because it's easier said than done. What are you doing today, Alex, to take care of your health?
Well, you know, it's I'm fortunate in that I work for an employer who has discarded the old software engineering notions of crunch time, you know, which is like, you know, kind of mandatory or voluntary overtime, you know. So, you know, they don't want anyone working more than 40 hours a week. So I don't work more than 40 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's one nice boundary that I've set, which lets me have time with the family and time to exercise, time to prepare healthier food, where, you know, like in my 20s, I just go grab whatever I could, you know, like go take a 10-minute lunch break to go out and grab some fast food and bring it back to, you know, the little closet I was working in, you know. And it's so a lot of those things. Yeah, I guess those are probably the three biggest things. I also taking my vacation time, you know, kind of more aggressively, I guess I'd say. I didn't even really have vacation time back when I was working at these earlier jobs. They weren't the kind of places that gave vacation time. but the this place, they give a generous amount of vacation time, and I try to take it. With the pandemic, made it more difficult. Like we were talking about with the kid, also makes it a little more difficult. But like getting out there, and especially just before the pandemic happened, we went out to Japan and to France, and then we went on our honeymoon to Spain, and it was taking 2 or 3 weeks at a time to get out there and really kind of enjoy it and get past the work mentality. You know what I mean? When you're on vacation, but your mind's still thinking about work, you need a few days to get past that. Making the amount of vacation long enough that you kind of forget that work is a thing that exists. And then those were, I guess, the big things.
Very helpful. And you had mentioned also a number. There's a goal in your mind of, all right, I want to hit this number. Do you mind sharing what that number is?
Yeah. So right now my target number in my mind is 1.6 million.
Cool. Part of why I do everything I do is there's a lot of people that have a number in mind, and they've run some spreadsheets off that they've done lots of cool calculations on their end. And I want to be able to tell them that if you just do good planning, you could potentially retire earlier. And some people go, Ari, oh my gosh, I just never considered it this way. Other people, it's, hey, I kind of already knew that, but I just didn't know. I don't want to leave anything on the table. And to me, the reason that I'm so obsessed with this planning is if I could get you 1, 2, 3, 4 years back of health, good luck quantifying that for the latter years of your retirement. So I tell people this 1.6 number that you have in your head, Alex, part of this is early retirement audit, where a lot of these episodes I'm going to be doing is educating to help you understand whether that's realistic, whether it's not. And the first thing I tell people is not if we get X number of growth or 9% or 10%, but spending. Spending is the gigantic variable here, where if you said, Ari, I want to spend $60,000 a year adjusted for inflation after taxes every single year, would I ever run out of money? And so the first temperature check is, what is a sustainable withdrawal rate? And most people talk about the 4% rule. It's not totally applicable to an early retirement. So there's a new study done by John Guyton. It's called the guardrails approach. And the idea here is if you follow certain rules and take from certain accounts and invest a certain way, you can take out between 5.2 to 5.6% and you're never going to run out of money. And that's for 40 years, which is a lot more applicable to people retiring at age 50. Even then, we want a little bit of buffer because you just don't want to always say, oh my gosh, I retired 1 or 2 years earlier and that's going to stress me out. I tell people there's a difference between retiring early on paper and retiring early. The difference is there are people that retire early on paper, but they second guess travel, or they second guess going out to eat, and they second guess that gym membership. And to me, that's not a successful early retirement. So what you just said there, Alex, you're like, all right, we're spending $60,000. Are there going to be more expenses in the future with more kids? Of course. Are there going to be education and travel? And these are good expenses, but it's not as if you're just probably going to be doing nothing for the next 40, 50 years from an income perspective. Maybe there's something you really like. Maybe they offer health insurance. Maybe your wife still wants to keep working. So there's a lot of moving pieces to this, but you are closer than you think. And I'm not in the business of telling anyone a rosy picture, but if you're going, Ari, I've got nearly $1 million and you just said 5.2 to 5.6 is sustainable. Yeah. I just told you, you could reasonably take $50,000 a year and go spend that for 40 years and you won't run out of money. The difference is, what if markets don't perform well? What if tax brackets change significantly? What if there's a major health event? Okay, let's plan for those. But the reason I love doing what I do is because I want you, Alex, to know, oh my gosh, what if it's not 1.6? What if at 1.3, I would be comfortable? Because the difference between that $300,000 right there might just save your life from a health perspective. And so that's why I care about this so much. But any questions or thoughts here on any of that?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't heard about that. I'm gonna have to take a look into that. You said this was a guardrails study?
Yeah, it's called the guardrails approach. John Guyton. So I'll give everyone a quick 3-minute background so no one falls asleep during this. But I tell everyone that the 4% rule, It was developed by Bill Bangin. And so what he did is he said, Ari, what, he didn't talk to me, of course, but he said, Ari, what if I have $1 million? I can take out $40,000 a year and I'm not going to run out of money. But it didn't account for taxes. So it's, do we need to take 45 or 50 to end up with 40,000? That's my first kind of issue with the study from an early retirement perspective. Number two is, okay, Ari, what if I invest in just two asset classes, intermediate term US bonds and US large caps? That is the 4% rule. This other study was saying, Ari, I don't want to just, you know, invest in two asset classes. What if we don't just close our eyes and pull from certain accounts? What if we pull from the Roth last? What if we pull from the brokerage first? What if we do these tax strategies in between? Those strategies show that you can take between 5.2 to 5.6, and that will last you for 40 years. That's a big difference, that 10-year gap right there. And so for some people, they're like, all right, I didn't even know that was a thing. I retired 6 years earlier because of the planning process. And I have clients right now that listen to these episodes and like, yes, Ari, we use this approach and we love it. The other thing is you're not giving yourself this income that no matter what you're taking. That sounds really weird, but I'll rephrase it. When you're implementing the guardrails approach, what you're doing is you're saying, if markets are performing really well, I'm going to say, Alex, pretend you're a client. I'm going to say, Alex, I know you want to go to Tokyo again. Please, this should be the year you do it. Markets are performing well. Please give yourself a raise from your portfolio. And then in other years, I might go, Alex, can we push that trip off maybe 3 months or 6 months if we're in a market downturn? You might go, Ari, nope, I've already got it planned. I'm going. And I'm going to say, great, Alex, you're in a position to do so. Please do it. But it's my job to show you the opportunity cost of, if we were to push that off because of the market downturn, it could mean $40,000, $60,000, $80,000 more in the future. And you might go, Ari, wow, that's a trade-off I like knowing about. I'm still going to take the trip. Or you go, you know what? No, this is a flexible trip. I could push that off. And so the goal here is, how do we just optimize our money?
Yeah, I dig that. That's cool.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Well, Alex, that's really what I wanted to go through today. I hope this, I can tell you right now, people are going to resonate with this. The last question I'm going to leave you with, pretend you're retired tomorrow. What does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, well, you know, I've thought a lot about, you know, volunteering for nonprofits in the area. There's a few that I think would be, that I'd like to kind of dabble into, see if they mesh well with me. I have wanted to get back into writing, haven't really taken that time, but I'd love to do that. I'd love to travel. I have a number of hobbies that I enjoy, you know, photography, is probably the one that I enjoy the most lately, but I have a number of them. I could see myself doing any of those. I also have a lot of side projects I'd love to have more time to work on that I think would be fun, but, unlike when I was younger, I don't want to do them layered on top of my day job. You know, they're like things I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do that. These don't have to be done right now. I can hold that off because I don't want to turn that into a second job and end up in the same situation I was in before, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, kudos to you, Alex, because a lot of people are telling me, Ari, I'm scared to death to retire because I don't know what on earth I'm going to do. Like, I don't have other hobbies because I've worked that hard and it's not admirable. It really isn't. What's admirable is taking time to go, yeah, you like photography? Great. Start doing it now. See what you really like. Understanding what you're going to do with your time in retirement. It's not easy. And so I love that you're already like, yes, Ari, I've got side projects. I've got hustles. I've got photography. I've got all these different things that I'm excited to do in addition to family, of course.
Yeah. And it wasn't that way before, you know, until I came into this different mindset of thinking I can live for something other than work. I didn't have hobbies and I didn't have side interests. I had side projects, but they were all related to, doing more of what I do at work, essentially, you know, feeding that addiction. Yeah.
And I think it's easy for both of us to be a little bit hardwired that way because we do love what we do. And so when you love what you do, it's really easy to let other things go by the wayside. So Alex, really appreciate you coming on the show. Just want to tell everyone right now, once again, if this is something where you're like, wow, this was a really helpful episode, shoot me a note. I want to know about it. If you're like, I want more stories like Alex, or I want Alex again to tell this other story, or you know what? I want to tell my story. I think I've got something that'll resonate with people. Reach out to me. I tell people my email is ARI, that's Ari at root, ROOTfinancialpartners.com. You can submit a question on my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. Check out our YouTube community page, check out the podcast. And I tell everyone it's more fun to retire early with your friends. So if this episode was helpful, please do share it with someone who you want to travel with, who you want to be retired with, so you guys can spend time together. That's it for today. Alex, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Early Retirement Show. If you have a question that you want answered in a future episode, you can always go to my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. That's earlyretirementpodcast.com. And you can go ahead and submit a question that I'll look to answer in a future episode. Thank you all for listening. Please do rate it, review it, and share it with someone who you think would benefit from this information, if there's anyone out there that you know. I certainly appreciate it, and I will see you all each week. Hey guys, it's me again. Please be smart about this. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial, tax, or legal advice. Consult with your tax preparer or financial advisor before taking any action. This podcast is for informational purposes only.